The scripture reading this morning is from John chapter 5. We read the verses 16 through 30. That's John chapter 5. We read the verses 16 through 30. And there we read, "And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, 'My Father worketh hitherto, and I work.' Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." So far the reading of God's holy word, and these verses form also the text for the sermon of this morning. Beloved congregation, when the Lord Jesus deals with people, he is in full control. He leads everything. He knows exactly where he wants the conversation to go. He is in full control. And that's also what we see here in John chapter 5. Because the Lord Jesus came into Bethesda with its five porches, and that huge multitude of crippled and maimed and blind people, and the Lord heals one and says to that one person, "Rise up, take your mat, and go home." And the Lord does that on the Sabbath day. He's doing that on purpose. And it's not so much here in this setting that the Lord Jesus is going to explain to the people what the Sabbath is and how the Sabbath is to be a blessing for people and not to be a burden. No, that's not what the Lord Jesus is going to explain here. At another setting, the Lord Jesus explains what the Sabbath is, and then he really unravels those man-made laws that made the Sabbath day a burden. And here the Lord Jesus is indeed violating their man-made rules, but he's doing it with a purpose. Because now the Lord Jesus wants to reveal himself deeper to the people of the Jews. He is leading the conversation and giving it an instance in which a conversation may arise, in which he will instruct and rebuke these Jews and at the same time reveal himself. Because the Lord Jesus was confronted by the fact that this man had broken the Sabbath by taking his mat and walking and carrying it. That was not allowed according to the Jews. And first the Jews didn't know who had told this to this man. The man didn't know it himself. And then the Lord Jesus found him. And then the man testifies to these Jews, "The man who healed me is the Lord Jesus." And then the Jews say, "Oh, that's the person who told him to break the Sabbath laws." And so then they confront the Lord Jesus. But the result of all this is that the Lord Jesus goes even a step further, then says that says there in verse 17, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." And that's the change of the whole course of this conversation. The Lord Jesus is now not going to explain the Sabbath, but going to reveal himself, that he is Lord, that he has the ability, the authority, even to command on the Sabbath day, because he is equal to God. And that's what he's now going to explain. John, in his gospel, you know that, wants to emphasize that the Lord Jesus Christ was fully man, but truly God. And we find it in this beautiful discourse, or a sermon if you wish, that the Lord Jesus held towards these Jews. So we meditate here on the communion between the Father and the Son. That's what the Lord Jesus is going to explain to them, that the Jews may hear who he really is. He is God himself. Communion between the Father and the Son. And they are one in their being, in their judgment, and in giving of life. So now the Lord Jesus is going to explain who he is. And nowhere in the Gospels do we find a more penetrating treatise upon who the Lord Jesus Christ is and his unity with God. Nowhere does the Lord Jesus dwell so much upon his equality with the Father as here in this portion of Scripture. The Lord Jesus is going to penetrate deeper into the doctrine of who he really is. His Father works on the Sabbath day, and the Lord Jesus also works on the Sabbath day. The Father sustains nature and human life, and so the Lord Jesus will also sustain a human life on the Sabbath day. There's equality. There is a communion and a union between the Father and the Son. And now here we tread on holy ground, because these are matters difficult for us to understand. And also what we find here is that these claims have never been stated by any human being. These claims are so deep, they must come from God. Nobody can portray these revelations unless he is of God. And so we need to understand something of these matters. But at the same time, we experience the weakness of our own human understanding. Much that we find here in this chapter is so deep that we cannot understand it. Also not in this sermon. But may the Lord even give us a slight insight into who the Lord Jesus truly is. Well, we read then in verse 19 that the Lord Jesus says, the Son, and he's referring to himself, and the Jews know that, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. So he can do nothing of himself except what the Father does. So that does not portray an inability, that the Son is weak and needs the Father to show him. It's not about inability. It's about unity. That what the Father wills, the Son wills. What the Father works, the Son works. It's unity. That's the emphasis here. It's one will, one work of both the Father and the Son. And therefore we find in verse 20, the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself doeth. And that again shows us the union. What the Father does, he shows to the Son, and the Son does. Calvin views these verses in such a way that he states this refers to his human nature when it says the Son can do nothing of himself. That in his human nature is fully dependent upon his Father in heaven. But at the same time we see here in his divine nature and God the Father, there's a unity. They both desire the same thing. And those two persons together with the Holy Spirit are one God. So there's no independent acting by the Son. It's not that God the Father would want that direction and God the Son will move in another direction. No, there's unity. The Son is subject to the Father. The Father takes the initiative. The Son obeys and the Son wants to obey. The will is the same. The Son follows the example of the Father. You know, we can say just as the Lord Jesus must have followed the example of Joseph in the carpenter's workshop, where he learned to be a carpenter, and he did all things that Joseph was doing. Here the Lord Jesus explains that the work he now does originates from the Father. Although I must say, congregation, that every example to explain the relationship between God the Father and God the Son, that doesn't cover it completely. Because this is a holy union. And there's nothing here on earth that truly resembles that blessed union. God the Son does not do otherwise than the Father. Cannot do otherwise than the Father, does not want to do otherwise than God the Father. And it's not here about more, higher or less. It's not about authority. But we find here unity, a communion. That just as God cannot lie and that God cannot deny himself and that we see in God perfect truth, and that there's no limitation to his power. Likewise, this is also with the Son. God the Son cannot lie. God the Son cannot deny himself. And we see in God the Son perfect truth. And there's no limitation to his power. It's impossible for the Son to do something independent of the Father. He only wishes to do that which the Father is doing. And nobody knows God except the Son, who was in the bosom of the Father from all eternity. And so we notice here that the Lord Jesus is continually placing God the Father before Himself. And we think of Psalm 16, verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. That's fulfilled in the Lord Jesus. He always had the will of God the Father before Him. And He never deviated from the will of God the Father. He is perfect, even if it would cost Him His life. Even if He would have to undergo suffering, He will not deviate, not turn aside from the will of God the Father. And underneath this all is love, perfect love between the Father and the Son. John 14, verse 31, I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. And here we find in verse 20, for as the Father loveth the Son, and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth, and He will show Him greater works than that ye may marvel. Love, reciprocal love between the Father and the Son. And greater works the Lord Jesus will do, so that people will marvel and be amazed at what the Lord Jesus can do, but that's because of His union with God the Father. The raising of Lazarus was a great work, greater than healing a crippled man. And the people were marveled because of this. And that the Lord Jesus Himself shall arise from the grave. That was most marvelous, that no one had anticipated. But that's because of the power of the Father and the Son. They are one in their being. But also they are one in their judgment. Our second thought, our judgment. Because in verse 22 we read, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. We find the same in verse 27. And hath given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. So God the Father has passed on the authority to judge to His Son, the Lord Jesus. He has become the Son of Man. He understands man. He Himself became man. And He has the perfect ability, is qualified to be a true judge. He has the authority to be judge. The Lord Jesus will therefore pronounce a just verdict. Verse 30, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father who hath sent me. The Lord Jesus is the light of the world, and His light shines in the darkness and reveals everything. And His verdict is just. The Lord Jesus is here describing the two great works the Father has given Him to do. That is, pronouncing judgment and giving life to the dead. That's a double task the Lord Jesus had to do. Giving life to the dead, spiritual life, to people who are lost in their sins, who are living in sin, who are held under the dominion of sin, who cannot deliver themselves from these chains. The Lord is going to raise them up to a new life. From spiritual death to spiritual life. And also the Lord Jesus will raise people up at the last day. And at the same time, the Lord Jesus will pronounce judgment. In verse 26 and 27, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. God the Father gives this authority. God the Father is self-sufficient. He has life in himself. He is fully independent. And now God the Father gives to God the Son also the ability to have life in himself, and that God the Son will execute judgment, because that shows again the communion between the Father and the Son in executing judgment, in granting eternal life. And that's why God the Son can save sinners, sinners from their great misery. And that's why there's hope for you in this blessed Savior. There's salvation in this blessed Christ. How we need to adore the Father and the Son, and adore the Holy Spirit, the triune God. See what power, what might, what union, what communion between them. And that he has come to give life, to execute judgment. Yes, if we look at judgment, it was known from olden days that God was the judge of the whole earth. We see that already, and Abraham knew that in Genesis 18, verse 25, where Abraham prays, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? God the Father is judge. He gives a right, a perfect, a true judgment. And we see that judgment taking place now in the lives of people, in the lives of nations. He judges, but especially that judgment will be at the end of the world. God will execute a perfect judgment. The Son has received now authority to execute this final judgment. And Christ receives a name above every name. And every knee will bow for him on the day of judgment. And every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And many will do that because they are forced to do that. But they recognize that he is judge, and that he will execute condemnation. Then Christ shall receive honor of all people because he is God. We think of Isaiah 45. There is no God else beside me. A just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. I have sworn by myself. The word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. That will be fulfilled when the Lord Jesus returns. He will receive this honor. And it will be to the glory of God the Father. In judgment, there's communion. The same. They are one. But this communion is also expressed by giving of life. A final point, giving of life. Now, we mentioned already about the two works God the Father gave to God the Son, to give life and to judge. And now we focus upon that giving of life. That's essential. He is the life, the resurrection. And he gives life to dead sinners. There are people here who know that life working in them, that they used to be dead, that they had no desire for the Lord or for His kingdom, but the Lord renewed them because His Spirit blew upon these dead bones, and they revived, and they saw it, and they realized it here amongst us. I hope you are one of them. If not, you may bow your knee for this Savior, because He's willing and able to give you life. We must listen to Him. That's what the Lord Jesus is going to explain here. But first we see again verse 20, the Father loveth the Son and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth, and He will show Him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. These greater works is the raising of the dead. The Jews believe that only God can raise the dead. So when the Lord Jesus speaks about that He will raise the dead, He is making Himself equal to God. The Jews, they realize He is claiming divine authority. In the synagogues, there were certain standard liturgical prayers. And one of those prayers in the synagogue was, Thou, O Lord, art mighty forever. Thou dost quicken the dead. Thou art able to save. Thou dost maintain the living by Thy mercies. And Thou dost quicken the dead by Thy great grace. Who is as Thou art, O Lord of mighty acts? Who can be compared to Thee, O King, who kills and makes alive and ensures that salvation rises up? Yes, Thou art faithful to awaken the dead. And He is the Lord Jesus. And He claims that He will awaken the dead. And He's going to give clear signs of raising dead people, and that He Himself will rise up. He is claiming divine authority. No human being ever said something like this. No one ever dared to say, I am the resurrection. Who would dare say that? The Lord Jesus says that. And He arose from the grave. And these same Jews heard it. They realized it, and they bribed the Roman soldiers. Go tell that the disciple stole his body. But they knew better, that He had arisen. And so the Lord Jesus is life in Himself. He is the resurrection. It's not that the Lord Jesus is an instrument to raise the dead. That's Elijah. That's Elisha. They were an instrument in God's hand to raise up a dead body. But the Lord Jesus is not an instrument. He is life Himself. He gives life to whom He so desires. And that's a miracle. That sinners who are literally dead, that the Lord raises them up from their grave. But then also spiritually dead. People who don't desire after God. They cannot deliver themselves. But in this life, they receive already life eternal. Raised up to a new life with the Lord Jesus Christ. The repentance of a sinner is a resurrection from death to life. And then man truly starts to live. You will only live when you are truly united to God through Christ Jesus. Then you have perspective. Then you have the only comfort in life and death. Then your sins are blotted out. Then you have a home in the house of the Father. Then you have a God who watches over you, who upholds you, who sustains you. Then you have a God who renews you. because dead sinners shall hear the voice of the Son of God in their life. And those who hear, they shall live. That's the great miracle. There you see the reality of God, that sinners are changed. Obnoxious, hardened, insensitive people become kind and loving and sensitive. What happened to them? Well, the Son of God entered their life. They heard the voice of God speaking to them. And His love entered their heart. It is so very beautiful. It's so very good. Truly, God is good. And He does that which is good. A sinner who does not love God and cannot love God because he's spiritually dead, he hears the voice of the Son of God speaking to him. And they are renewed. They start to live. And in verse 25, the Lord Jesus says, that hour is coming, and it's now already here. Because I am here. Sinners are going to hear the voice of the living God. And as a sign of His power, the Lord Jesus raised that crippled man. Now sinners will be translated from death to life. Now they will be redeemed from slavery to sin. Now they will be drawn from darkness to light. Verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. This is the heart. This is the secret. This is the matter, that you hear the voice of the Son of God speaking to you. And how does God do that? By an audible voice? No. If we would hear an audible voice, we would be terrified. God speaks to us through His Word. His Word. That's how the Father has determined this. When you read the Word, you are listening to the voice of the Son of God. He is speaking to you. And you hear the voice of God the Father. And when you hear, you listen, then you receive eternal life. Although you're now still here in this world, you receive eternal life. And that will remain. It will never die. Because you can't kill eternal life. You can't remove eternal life. It's eternal. That's what the Lord does. That's the assurance of salvation. This is the perseverance of the saints because God perseveres in them. Then a person receives eternal life. And when you die, you're not really dying. But you're being translated. Because eternal life cannot die. You'll be translated to be in the immediate presence of God, the triune God. It's through His Word, the Word you read, the Word you hear under the preaching of His Gospel applied by God's Spirit, and then lives are being saved and broken hearts are healed, and there's an opening given, a perspective given. in the midst of all your need and misery, there's a full deliverance. And that's why the Lord Jesus healed that crippled man at Bethesda, to give a sign of his saving, healing power. And so, congregation, we must listen. We must hear. Listen. For the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Hearing, the meaning is to listen. You can hear something, but you don't listen to it. But hearing means listening, submitting, listening in faith, to submit as an obedient disciple, and that you become willing to have Christ take over your life. It's not enough to hear all kinds of sermons or to run after certain preachers. We must hear the voice of the Son of God in our hearts, and we must hear as we listen and then bow and obey. That we are personally instructed by Christ, and as penitent people, we come before Him. In this way, man truly listens and hears and shall receive salvation. It's the same as Isaiah 55 verse 3, incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. It's the same Holy Spirit inspiring both these words. There's a unity in God's word. And how can now dead people hear the voice of the Son of God? Well, the answer is given by another prophet in the Old Testament, Ezekiel 37. How the Spirit of God will blow into dead bones and will raise them up. Their ears are open and the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall live forever. And the consequence of this is the physical resurrection of the dead. So clearly we see here two resurrections. The one is a spiritual resurrection in this life, and the other is a physical raising from the dead at the last day. And the dead will come forth as they hear the voice of the living Christ. The dead will come forth, the dead bodies, and all what's remained of it, that dust, shall hear the voice of the Son of God. It's the same as with Lazarus. Lazarus was already 4 days in the grave. He was already decomposing. It's too far gone now. His body has changed and is miscolored. But he heard the voice of Jesus calling him. How can that be? Because Jesus is almighty. That's why. Verse 28 and 29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and they shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So they will all rise up. Some to glory and others to damnation. And therefore our existence does not stop when we die. After death we are placed before judgment. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then judgment. That means it's the initial judgment. Then you are referred to be either in the light with the Lord Jesus Christ or in darkness, to be held there to the final judgment, when the body will be attached to the soul, and the wicked will go to their everlasting place, and the godly will be forever with the Lord. And God's children will be raised in glory. They will be publicly acquitted and be forever admitted in the presence of God. And therefore God's children don't have to fear for death, for they will live forever with Christ. But those who have done evil, who have disobeyed the Son of God, who never bothered to listen to Him, who were far too busy chasing after the vanity of this daily life, when they die, they will be in darkness. And when they are raised, they will be with body and soul in damnation. It's one out of two for all of us. So how are things in your life? Do you live with Christ? Do you live for Christ? Do you know this personal communion with Christ? Have you learned to love the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you desire that your life would be renewed after His will? The Lord Jesus alone has eternal life, and He gives that. He can raise you up to a new and godly life. He can teach you to listen to Him. Everything you lack, He can abundantly supply. He gives a willing heart. He gives opened ears and enlightened understanding. He gives insight. He gives deliverance. He works faith. Without Christ, we will perish forever. But here Christ offers life eternal, even to those obnoxious and hateful Jews who are glaring at Him. How painful they must have been for the Lord Jesus. And yet He is offering them also life and mercy. But He is also offering it to you and to me, whoever you are. Maybe your life is messed up. Maybe you are afraid of messing up your life. Maybe you accuse yourself that you have a hardened heart and that your eyes are blind. And you feel sick about all the sins of your life. But there is salvation in this blessed Christ. When people become weary of themselves, here Christ proclaims eternal life, full resurrection, now already, and at the last day. What do you think of Christ? You cannot move around Christ. You can say whatever you want. You can do whatever you want, but you cannot avoid the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot run away from Him. He has been appointed to be judge. And now this judge gives life. The salvation is to be found only in Christ. He gives life and He deepens life. And He leads sinners into blessed communion with Himself. And then you will not enter damnation, but you will be forever with Him. How blessed are they who know the joyful sound, who when they hear Thy voice in happiness abound. We will sing, congregation, Psalter 422, verse 5. Amen. Shall we bow before the Lord in prayer? O gracious, good-doing Lord, we thank Thee for these deep and wonderful revelations that thou hast healed this crippled man and dealt with him so that thou wouldst have a clear opportunity to explain to the Jews who thou art, and over the heads of the Jews thou art speaking to us, that thou art the resurrection and the life, that thou shalt execute a perfect judgment, that thou dost give life eternal to dead sinners. O Lord, we thank thee for this gospel, and it is more a gospel to be experienced than to be understood or than to be verbalized. We pray, Lord, wilt thou through thy Holy Spirit apply this message to our heart and life, that we may realize and see the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ and be led in communion with thee. O Lord, be the after preacher of this thy word. Go with us this day. Bless the Sunday catechism and Sunday school instruction. Bring us again this afternoon in thy house. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.